Good evening, everyone. To open our meeting tonight, Chardell, can you please announce the first hymn?
We'll sing hymn number 77. God is my strength, my strong salvation. What foe have I to fear? In darkness and temptation, my light, my help is near. Though hosts encamp around me, firm in the fight I stand, what terror can confound me with God at my right hand? Hymn number 77.
If you'd like to read along while the readings are being given tonight, please go to our website, plainfieldcs.com, and from the homepage under the Weekly Lessons tab, you'll see the link to the Wednesday testimony meeting, and there you'll find the text. And the theme for tonight is, Salvation is of the Lord. And the readings will now be given by Fairley from Maryland.
The Holy Bible, Exodus. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. Isaiah. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image, and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye, and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Luke, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies, and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant. John, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Luke. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner? And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Psalms. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures and Prose Works by Mary Baker Eddy. Now, cried the apostle, is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Meaning, Not that now men must prepare for a future world salvation or safety, but that now is the time in which to experience that salvation in spirit and in life. Now is the time for so-called material pains and material pleasures to pass away, for both are unreal because impossible in science. To break this earthly spell, mortals must get the true idea and divine principle of all that really exists and governs the universe harmoniously. This thought is apprehended slowly, and the interval before its attainment is attended with doubts and defeats, as well as triumphs. By interpreting God as a corporeal savior, but not as the saving principle or divine love, we shall continue to seek salvation through pardon and not through reform, and resort to matter instead of spirit for the cure of the sick. As mortals reach, through knowledge of Christian science, a higher sense, they will seek to learn, not from matter, but from the divine principle, God, how to demonstrate the Christ truth as the healing and saving power. The Master said, "No man cometh unto the Father, the divine principle of being, but by me, Christ, life, truth, love. For Christ says, I am the way." Physical causation was put aside from first to last by this original man, Jesus. He knew that the divine principle, love, creates and governs all that is real. The newborn Christian scientist must mature and work out his own salvation. Spirit and flesh antagonize. Temptation, that mist of mortal mind which seems to be matter and the environment of mortals, suggests pleasure and pain in matter. And so long as this temptation lasts, the warfare is not ended and the mortal is not regenerated. The pleasures, more than the pains of sense, retard regeneration, for pain compels human consciousness to escape from sense into the immortality and harmony of soul. Work out your own salvation is the demand of life and love, for to this end God worketh with you. Occupy till I come. Wait for your reward and be not weary in well-doing. If your endeavors are beset by fearful odds and you receive no present reward, go not back to error, nor become a sluggard in the race. When the smoke of battle clears away, you will discern the good you have done and receive according to your deserving. Love is not hasty to deliver us from temptation. For love means that we shall be tried and purified. From a religious point of view, the faith of both youth and adult should center as steadfastly in God to benefit the body as to benefit the mind. Body and mind are correlated in man's salvation. For man will no more enter heaven sick than as a sinner. And Christ's Christianity casts out sickness as well as sin of every sort. If we have triumphed sufficiently over the errors of material sense to allow soul to hold the control, we shall loathe sin and rebuke it under every mask. Only in this way can we bless our enemies, though they may not so construe our words. We cannot choose for ourselves, but must work out our salvation in the way Jesus taught. Universal salvation rests on progression and probation and is unattainable without them. Heaven is not a locality, but a divine state of mind in which all the manifestations of mind are harmonious and immortal, because sin is not there, and man is found having no righteousness of his own, but in possession of the mind of the Lord, as the scripture says. Wearing in part a human form, that is, as it seemed to mortal view, being conceived by a human mother, Jesus was the mediator between spirit and the flesh, between truth and error, explaining and demonstrating the way of divine science. He became the way of salvation to all who accepted his word. Our master fully and finally demonstrated divine science in his victory over death and the grave. Jesus' deed was for the enlightenment of men and for the salvation of the whole world from sin, sickness, and death.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer, and then followed by repeating together the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
Okay, Jeff, can you please announce the next hymn?
Hymn number 386. When Jesus, our great master, came to teach us in his Father's name, in every act, in every thought, he lived the precepts which he taught. Hymn number 386.
When Jesus, our
Welcome to the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent, located in Plainfield, New Jersey, in the United States of America. And this is our Wednesday evening weekly testimony meeting for Wednesday, August 30th, 2017. Welcome, one and all. I'd like to encourage everyone to visit our website, plainfieldcs.com. Many people have found our church through our website, and as a result of which, we have a listening and participating audience across the globe. Many other states, many foreign countries have representatives of those who are part of our church, and we're grateful for each and every one of you. I'd like to point out a couple of items that are on our website. There's a new issue of Forum Highlights, and there's also an article called Thorn in the Flesh, which is by Charles Spurgeon. He's a very famous preacher from England back in the 1800s. He wrote this article, and obviously he was a very clear thinker. This is an excellent article about pride and humility and how one tries to sneak in when it shouldn't be, but it's good to be alert to. Read that article. Wonderful. Also, please join us every Sunday. We start here at 10 o'clock in the morning with our roundtable discussion, which is a training session in Christian Science. It is followed by our church service at 11 o'clock. And we also offer a Sunday school for children. It meets at 11 o'clock in the morning. And the Sunday school is actually broadcast through a teleconference number of its own, so any child can attend. So call the church, ask for the number for the Sunday school, and we would love to welcome your child there. In addition to this, all of our services are broadcast live streaming over the internet through our website, through our YouTube channel, and we also offer another teleconference number where you can call in and listen and participate. And I'd like to also make one announcement about our Bible study. We've been taking a break from it for a while. It's actually going to start not this Saturday, but the following Saturday after that, which would be September 9th. So on that day at 10 o'clock in the morning, on Saturday, September 9th, we'll have our first Bible study session again. I will now like to read from the Church Manual by Mary Baker Eddy, the section entitled Testimonials. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's, St. Paul. Testimony in regard to the healing of the sick is highly important. More than a mere rehearsal of blessings, it scales the pinnacle of praise and illustrates the demonstration of Christ, who healeth all thy diseases. This testimony, however, shall not include a description of symptoms or of suffering, though the generic name of the disease may be indicated. For everyone that gives a testimony tonight, please keep it within 4 minutes. This will enable everyone to share their offering. And for those of you who are on the teleconference, when you're ready, please press ** on your phone. But keep in mind that when you do so, we are going to be able to hear you here, as well as any sounds that your telephone picks up. So make sure you're in a quiet place. And now I'd like to open the meeting to the sharing of testimonies of healing through Christian Science. Janet from Georgia, go ahead.
Thank you. So grateful for the readings tonight. My husband and I are renovating his parents' former home, which has fallen into decline. When we started this process, we found out there were legal issues to be addressed. My husband needed a relative who's not living in our state to sign some documents, and they were sent to this relative, and some time passed, but no response was received from her. My husband tried to contact her, leaving voice messages, text messages, but was unsuccessful. I mentioned this to my practitioner, and she pointed out how we needed to wrap this individual in love. Yesterday, as my husband made another attempt to call her, I was acknowledging that God's power is the only power, and His will is the only will, and that God's love is supreme and includes all. This time, the relative answered the phone. My husband told her that he needed her help, and she told him that she would sign the document. Their conversation was harmonious and joyful, and before the call ended, he told her he loved her, and she responded in kind. There had been so much speculation and worry about this individual, but by recognizing God's love for all and holding her there, this issue was resolved. Today we received a text message from her saying she'd taken care of the documents, signed and notarized them, and put them in the mail. I'm so grateful to God, to my practitioner, this beautiful church, and every aspect of this powerful healing service tonight. So happy to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. Luann from New York, go ahead.
Thank you. I am so thankful to God for His patience and the loving guidance that I have received from my practitioner. Many times I find that I have put off doing something that I should have done a long time ago. As I learn through Christian Science the true meaning of my relationship with God, I'm beginning to understand the importance of purification and sacrifice. A few weeks ago, I came across a box of some journals in which was written very colorful and intimate stories of abuse, hatred, and revenge, along with the mental illness diagnosis given to me in my early years. The pages were very disturbing, but I was not consciously aware of why I was keeping them. As the weeks passed, my thoughts remained on the contents of the box, and slowly I was drawn into depression and agitation. Nothing seemed to go right. I lost my joy. I lost sight of God. A practitioner reached out to me in my hour of darkness and lifted me up to where I could focus my attention on God, instead of letting other things occupy my thoughts. That evening, I repented and prayed. It became clear to me what I must do. The next day, I took the box to the backyard and burned all the papers. As I sat on the ground watching each page turn black and curl up in the flames, I felt a sense of relief that brought tears to my eyes. It was over. There was nothing left to accuse or offend. While I was burning the papers, a small card fell from the pages onto the ground as I was tossing them into the fire. Attached to it was a note from a friend that said, "I know this will result in many blessings for you." The card read, "If you ever expect to hear the voice of God, you must accept the proposition that His voice is now sending out its messages continuously, doing this because you possess a capacity to hear it. No one can rob you of that, and the reason you do not hear it is because of your lack of focusing your attention on that fact by letting other things occupy your thoughts. Thus you postpone your efforts and fail to receive." Gilbert Carpenter. This is Eddie explains in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. Muddy river must be stirred in order to purify the stream. In moral chemicalization, when symptoms of evil, illusion, are aggravated, we may think in our ignorance that the Lord hath wrought an evil. But we ought to know that God's law uncovers so-called sin and its effects. Only that truth may annihilate all sense of evil and all power to sin. I am so grateful for Jesus' tremendous example of oneness with the Father. I am grateful for the pure teachings of this church and for the love and guidance I have received from my practitioner, which has enabled me to grow in science and remove the stumbling blocks that have postponed my ability to exemplify my true nature as a child of God. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Dede from Georgia, go ahead.
Thank you. I'm thankful for last Sunday's roundtable discussion, which included the subject of patience. Early that morning, I thought of how my understanding of patience has improved through the study of Christian Science in this church. I realized that part of being patient is doing my best with what I have right now. And the following came to me shortly after. Whether I've been left with very little or been blessed with a whole lot, I must do my absolute best today with just what I've got. This means that while making my desires known to God through prayer and supplication, as directed in Philippians 4:6, I must approach each day with more gratitude for what He has already done, working to find as much good as possible in everything that enters my experience, with appreciation for the experience itself. I thought about the example of going to the grocery store to grab a needed item within minutes, and reflected on the fact that there is a detailed process which takes place before that item hits the shelf, a process I never see. This is something that I need to remember when thinking about God's provision of anything that I need. Before I even realize a need, God is already aware of it and has done the necessary work to provide it. More importantly, I must be patient in knowing that it will be met immediately, but only realized at the right time. I'm learning that God's ideas are perfected before they are presented, and I must wait on Him with good expectation when searching for what is right. I'm so thankful for this humbling lesson and for the empowering work going on in this church that is blessing me and the entire world continuously. I'm so grateful for this meeting, for the readings and the testimonies, and for all that's going on here. I'm so grateful to be here tonight.
Thank you. Jeremy.
I'm very grateful tonight for this church and for all I am learning about Christian Science. In Psalm 18, from the responsive reading in this week's lesson, it says, quote, "For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness," end quote. That has made me pause each time I have read it. Before coming to Plainfield, that darkness felt unending. No matter what I tried humanly, it brought no light. In fact, every action seemed to hasten that fade to black. Only when I was at my lowest, when I finally reached out to God, did everything change. It honestly felt like going from night to day. I am always grateful to take a moment to remember how dark it was, because that lets me fully appreciate how bright God has made this life for me now. Everything that I have encountered in this church has worked to open my eyes even further to His light. It gives me such joy to know that God's light and love are available to all. What a blessing it is to be a member here, to have practitioner support, and I'm grateful to be a part of this mission. I'm also grateful to be standing in the light. Thank you.
Thank you. This is Bruce. I'd like to say how much I was helped by an article on our website. It's called A Right Attitude by Gilbert Carpenter. And he went on to explain how it's God's good plan for each one of us to grow in grace despite whether or not we're going through difficult times or harmonious times. And I wasn't under a lot of great difficulty, but I went through this one recent experience where I had a project to do, and it seemed like there was a lot of little individual things to remember and only so much time to finish it all. And I started getting a little worried about remembering everything. And then I remembered this article where it was God's good grace that we, his good plan for all of us to grow in grace regardless of what we're going through. And I stopped worrying about it altogether after that. Instead, I just took each thing one step at a time. Dear God, what should I do next? Sometimes the answer didn't come right away, but if I was just patient and careful and listening, it did come. And the project was finished, and there was no time pressure about getting it done on time. And I'm grateful for this harmonious experience and this time to spend with our Heavenly Father and asking him step by step, what should I do next? It was actually a very harmonious time. I'm so thankful for it. And thankful for that article that Gilbert Carpenter wrote. It was quite a wonderful article. Helped me quite a bit. Linda.
Thank you very much for the readings tonight and the music. I'm very grateful for the patience of my Plainfield practitioner and the many opportunities to give back to this church. Searching through past emails recently reminded me of the countless ways God has worked in my life. Participating in this church has been a great support. I have found whatever I do for church centers me and keeps me grounded and helps me discipline my thought. It gave me a purpose that would take the focus off my problems. Through this church, I am learning how to do things for the glory of God and to go in his strength, not my own. These are based on the teachings of Christ Jesus and the writings of Mary Baker Eddy that are taught here correctly. These lessons have carried over into other areas of my life step by step, showing me also the necessity and importance of keeping my thinking and acting in line with God throughout the day, not just at church. Thank you.
Thank you. Gary.
I'm so grateful that God led me to this church many years ago. I can honestly say that the Christian Science that I have learned in this church has literally saved my life. It has totally changed my life, and I will never be grateful enough for it. I was reminded recently of an experience I had quite a while ago. One day I was doing a lot of physical work and my hip began to hurt whenever I would walk. And it got progressively worse, and very quickly it was so painful that I really couldn't walk. And I was extremely distressed and didn't know what it could possibly be. So I called a practitioner, Christian Science practitioner from this church, to ask for help. And I remember very well that I was met with the greatest love, the greatest compassion I had ever felt, and the greatest conviction that God could and would heal this. There was absolutely no question. I was told to read and sing hymn number 139, which begins, "I walk with love along the way." And I was also told that when error, and this was an error, when error pushes at me, whenever it tries to tell me that there's something wrong with me to push back. And I thought, well, yes, because I had been kind of soft on suggestions that I wasn't, you know, right, or that there were things I couldn't do. And I needed to take a stand and push back and declare that I could do whatever God required me to do, and I could do it without any pain. Well, I spent the next part of that day just studying and praying and reacquainting myself with God. And it was a wonderful experience. I could feel God's presence. I could feel my peace coming back. And by the end of the day, I could walk freely without any pain. And that condition never did return. I am so grateful for the Christian Science that I am learning in this church. And I'm so grateful for Mary Baker Eddy for giving us this tremendous science, this tremendous way of life. It's great to be here.
Thank you. Chardell.
Good evening. Thank you for the wonderful, wonderful readings and the beautiful music. I would like to offer my gratitude to the Plainfield Christian Science Church, Independent, and how beautifully the workers and practitioners demonstrate and teach us about God and Christ Jesus through the Bible and Mary Baker Eddy's writings. In Mary Baker Eddy and Her Spiritual Footsteps by Gilbert Carpenter Sr. and Jr., there is a chapter called The True Temple. I quote, "The true temple is that which contains God. Therefore, a Christian Science church becomes a temple when the demonstration of the students therein brings into this edifice a true consciousness of the presence of God, where the stranger and pilgrim may find him," end quote. This is certainly true of the Plainfield Church, where I was the stranger and the pilgrim. The growth in grace and spiritual understanding since attending this holy temple is bringing me and others strength and joy unspeakable. It is also noted in this chapter that the same divine inspiration applies to our, quote, human tasks, where we can demonstrate, quote, building the temple of the living God because it is recognizing God as supreme in his universe, end quote. Thank you.
Thank you. Lil.
I am so grateful for God's ever-ready help in every needful situation. On Sunday, I found a tiny tooth chip in my mouth and shortly discovered a corner of a front tooth missing. Monday, I called a practitioner for help before calling the dentist. The receptionist there said they were quite busy but squeezed me into their schedule that afternoon for a checkup of the situation. I waited a short while there upon arriving, then saw the dentist. He said the tooth could be repaired easily. There had been a similar repair in that same spot, which had proceeded. In half an hour, it was fixed and I was leaving. I am so grateful I got to see him quickly and that the repair was quick and easy. God was in the middle of the whole situation. I thank practitioner for her help all the way. This was such a blessing. I am so grateful. And thank you for those wonderful readings and the music tonight.
Thank you. Carol.
It was just about 3 years ago that my daughter-in-law was in labor in the hospital, and things were moving along, and I was on the phone with my son several times. And there came a time when I wasn't hearing anything from him, and it just seemed like it was taking too long. So I called a practitioner for help, and the practitioner reminded me something that we had been given when we were expecting our babies, that, oh Lord, my times are in thy hand, and to put everything in God's hand, that it was moving according to God's plan, and it was in his perfect time. Well, my son called me back just a few minutes later, and he said they were getting ready to induce labor, he said, but before they could do it, the baby was out. And I just was so very grateful for the power of God and so grateful for the practitioner's help. Everything went along smoothly and everything was just perfect as God planned it. I am so grateful for Christian Science and so grateful for the practitioner's help. Thank you.
Thank you. Craig.
Thanks so very much for those readings today. And I thank for every day this week, particularly for the lessons that we've been given that prepare us every morning, I think, for the day. And they equip us and strengthen us. I've known that this week is man, and I've been having to, I guess, face mental battles during the week where I would feel like I wasn't able to do what I knew I should do, or I was going into a situation where I would not be, it would not be pleasant with others that I work with. But that's not true about God's kingdom. And the lesson helped me to know that no matter where I was, that God was in charge and God was governing and only right was going to happen. And these are harmonious and productive activities. Well, suggestion was coming, I was feeling it like this. But I held to that fact and moral courage just to stand with it. And I did. And the whole atmosphere of each of the things today, even in the meetings, it just worked. It cleared up to be just that harmonious, productive, and appreciative, which just showed, if it wasn't for Christian Science and these lessons, everything would have gone just the opposite. I would have had what I believed, and it would have been horrendous. And I wouldn't have been of any help to anyone or myself. I thank God for making us good workers. I couldn't work for the world in an atmosphere where I was thinking negatively. I couldn't have helped anybody. I thank God for this church, Mary Grady, guiding us into the positive. Truth is affirmative and gets things done. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Luba from Ohio, go ahead.
Thank you. I'm so grateful for all that is available at Plainfield and for the dedication of everyone there. So many blessings and learning experiences have occurred during this time. When we bought a home a couple years ago, the basement floor needed professional cleaning. After much searching for the right person, I felt I found the right one to do the job. He came and did an amazing job. I was ready to pay him, and under no circumstances would he accept the money. He had a ministry on the side, he said, and it was what he wanted to do. I did send him a payment at a later time, and I realized the demonstration of good that is always going on. I'm dedicated and I'm grateful to Christian Science and to my practitioner who has always been there for me and taught me so much. Thank you for tonight's reading, and I'm grateful to be here tonight.
Thank you. Suzanne from Vermont, go ahead.
Good evening. I'd like to share a few thoughts on the importance of rejoicing in another's good. In working with my Plainfield practitioner on a regular basis, which I cannot recommend highly enough and for which I can't be thankful enough, I was reminded of a saying that got me through my childhood. I don't recall where I found it, but for some reason it stuck. It goes like this. To find joy in another person's joy, that is the secret of happiness. I think as a young girl, I was happy to find the secret of happiness. Fast forward, as an adult, I left it for a while and would at times feel terrible pangs of jealousy of other people's things and circumstances. And as a result, I felt at times a profound sense of lack. It took me a while to get back to God and to learn that God has only good things in store for us, but we must be obedient to Him. This I learned at Plainfield, and what a precious lesson that's been. And that there is no shortage of good. In fact, rejoicing in another's good and knowing that in reality everything belongs to God and nothing really belongs to us is very freeing. This has allowed me to let go of a crushing desire to possess more and more things and to instead rejoice not only in the abundance available to all, but also in the wonderful things happening to those around me, without leaving me with any sense of missing out. One of the beautiful things of Wednesday night testimony meetings is the occasion to find joy in the joy that is shared by others. For as we have been taught, what blesses one, blesses all. I love coming to these testimony meetings where so many share what's in their heart. What a gift this is to the world. I thank God, Christ Jesus, Mary Baker Eddy, this precious church, and all its members and practitioners who dutifully work to keep spreading the message of pure Christian Science and with a profound sense of joy. Thank you.
Thank you. Fairly from Maryland, go ahead.
Thank you. Earlier today, I picked up something very heavy to move it somewhere because it was just something that was necessary to, I thought, to do. But I then felt a sort of pain in my side. And I'm so grateful for being a member of this church and having such an ever-available practitioner, because I was able to call her, and she gave me the support that I needed, because I was fearful that this could be something that could stick around. And I'd had challenges of this sort in the past, and I really didn't want to have anything occur. So she told me to work with Pages in Science and Health, and I... in the chapter on Christian Science practice, and I worked with the statement that you have no fear that matter can ache, swell, or be inflamed as a result of a law of any kind when it is self-evident that matter can have no pain nor inflammation. Your body would suffer no more from tension or wounds than the trunk of a tree which you gash or the electric wire you stretch. were it not for mortal minds. So
I was healed of the pain. I was so surprised that it suddenly went away very, very soon. Just an hour after I'd spoken to my practitioner and she'd offered me this help, the pain was completely gone, and I was quite surprised. I thought it would take longer. It was a complete healing and immediate, and I'm very grateful.
I felt very freed, and I felt so grateful that I had the help of my practitioner and that she's always available. And this church is such a beautiful place to be because all these testimonies are a testament to how wonderful this church is, and I'm so grateful for Christian Science, so grateful for God, for Jesus, for Mrs. Eddy, and all that goes on at this wonderful church. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Mike from New York, go ahead.
Thank you very much for the readings, the beautiful service, and the wonderful testimonies. I'm so grateful to be here tonight because I had some tribulations the last few days, and in spite of that, I've not gotten discouraged or depressed and have been very happy. I'm so thankful for God, Christ Jesus, Mary Baker Eddy, and this church's practitioners, members, and teachings that are raising my spiritual understanding. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Florence from Georgia, go ahead.
Thank you. Tonight I'd like to give gratitude for some of the things I've learned through Christian Science. I have learned that my desire to be saved or to overcome any challenge is a selfless one, since in overcoming any lie, I contribute to the saving of the world thought. This has taught me to stop any excuses for not doing what I should do or for just denying error and not replacing it with the truth that I know. As a working Christian Scientist, I know now that I must each day be ready to handle animal magnetism with the might of God, and have been taught also how to get ready for each day by gaining the correct sense of my oneness with God. This, Mrs. Eddy tells us, is indestructible, our connection with God. And that through the morning preparation and throughout the day to remind myself that my helper is at hand. This has helped me to keep alert, to know that whatever comes up, I can turn it around as an opportunity to bless myself and to bless the world thought. In the article, Demonstration is a Privilege, it's from Precepts, Volume 3 by Carpenter. He says that no Christian Scientist can be called such unless he works at it, any more than a policeman is such unless he is dressed in his uniform and guarding the city. I'm grateful for this statement, and especially because Mrs. Eddy has made plain from Christ Jesus' works all that is available to us to accomplish this. The daily duties found after the lesson sermons, Mrs. Eddy's treatment for every day found in the article section on our website, are all the truth. They have all the truth we need to use selflessly to bless the saving of mankind. Happy to be here tonight and so grateful for your readings, Fairly, and thanks for everyone contributing to the service. Happy to be here tonight.
Thank you. Okay, to close our meeting tonight, Linda, will you please announce the last hymn?
Hymn number 282. Praise the Lord, ye heavens, adore him. Praise him, angels in the height. Sun and moon, rejoice before him. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise the Lord, for he hath spoken. Worlds his mighty voice obey. Laws that never shall be broken, for their guidance hath he made. And number 282.